A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands. His hand. Just raise His hand. Oh, Lord,
you.
Amen, amen. Just know that He has His hands all over you, regardless of what the situation is, what's going on, or how the enemy tries to set traps up for you. Just know that you are in God's hands. And so long as you keep your hands in God's hands, oh, come on, somebody. When you keep your hands in God's hands, nothing else can come upon you. All you have to do is just do your part. And that's keeping your hands in His hands, allowing Him to be your guide. If you allow Him to be your guide, everything else will work itself out. I'm a living witness. I've seen it. I've felt it. I have come to know it. I believe it. And I'm asking you to apply it. Oh, hello, hello. It is Sunday, March 31st. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor Lee Townsend. Welcome to Jubilee of Prayer, Season 2. Brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. Today I am joined by the good brother Hakim Newman.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon, sir?
I can't complain, doctor. I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm well. I am well.
Good, good, good. Yes, sir, that's the all we can do, doctor, and all we can be as well. So long as we stick to the plan, doctor, you know, we stick to the plan and everything's going to work itself out.
Yes, sir.
Amen, amen. As we are, my wife and I are enjoying a little vacation, amen. I said I can't go without doing my show, amen. I had to put together a little, set aside a little time and God made it possible, so I'm here, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful. And I'm just so excited, Doc. It's just a true blessing. If you are in need of prayer, you can always contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can also tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. You can always press the number 1 and you will be placed in queue, and at your appropriate time you will be able to talk with myself and Brother Hakim. Amen. I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. I am a firm believer that prayer changes things. So let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this appointed hour. We ask, Father God, that you will open up our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive this word that you have placed within us. I thank you, Father God, for all those, Father, who are seeking your name right now. I ask, Father, that you will bless everybody, Father, within the sound of my voice. Touch in a mighty way, Father, that we may know that you are God and that you are God alone. Now, Father God, we ask that you will bless all those, Father, that work together, Father, for the good of this network. Sister Michelle, Brother Hakim, myself, and all of our moderators and hosts, Father, and those who work behind the scenes, Father, we ask that you would bless, that you would help, Father, that you would uplift, that you would remove any negativity, Father, that tries to stop us from growing as a network, Father, that tries to stop us from seeing a bigger picture, Father, and that tries to stop us from seeking you. We thank you, Father. Now I ask, Father, that you will bless this world. This is the world, Father, that you have created. Touch it in a mighty way, Father. There are so many people that don't believe that you exist. So, Father God, we're asking right now that you would make your presence known, Father, within the lives of those, Father, who are seeking you, and Father, and those who are loved. Because, Father, we know that if we all just turn to you, if we turn our faces from that wickedness and turn to you, Father, that we will see something that we've never seen before. We thank you. Now, Father, bless me, Father, your servant, whom you have called, Father, whom you have set apart. Bless me, Father, in a mighty way, that I may teach your people, that I may declare your word, Father, as solid ground under my feet. I just thank you. I honor you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I am a firm believer that prayer is our communication with the good master. And we can open up so many doors if we just learn how to pray. At this point of our service, I always give you, the listeners, an opportunity to ask questions. Some questions I have to deny because of the nature of the question, but most questions I do answer. And I have a set of three questions here that a listener submitted. And again, if you have questions, you can always submit them, and I will read them, and if they are appropriate, I will put them on air. Amen. If it's a real question and you're seeking real knowledge, I have no problem with answering it. So the first question that was asked is, how do you know when you have lined up with God's plan? How do you know when you have lined up with God's plan? Well, the first way that you would know if you have lined up with God's plan comes when God tells you that there's something that he needs you to do. After God has told you that he has a work for you to do, and after you have sought God and asking God what it is that he would have you to do, once he shows you that end result, and what I mean by that is, anybody that's been called by God will tell you that they saw the end result of the blessing of the calling that God put on their lives. I'll break it down even a little more to you. What I mean by that is that God always shows us a vision of what we could be doing or what he would have us to do as the end result. The end is what he shows us. He doesn't show us the beginning or the middle, because if he showed us what we had to go through to get to where what we now see, none of us would do it. Give you an example. I use myself as an example. When I was called to the ministry, I was at work in deep prayer, in consecrated deep prayer. And the Holy Spirit came and took me from my body and placed me in a church, a big church, and I watched myself preach. And I said, wow, that boy is really getting down. And before I knew it, it was myself. I saw myself. I was watching myself preach. Now, God showed me what could happen if I stick with his will, if I accept it and stick with his will. But he didn't show me everything that I had to do to get to that point. See, most of us would turn around and run with our tail between our legs if God showed us all the issues that we had to go through in order for us to be successful. Successful in Him. So that's number one. Accepting God's calling, accepting God's plan for your life. Number two, after accepting His plan for your life, sticking with it wholeheartedly, allowing God to have His way in your life, you will begin to feel what we call joy. Joy and peace. You'll find that this peace is something that you have now that you've never had before. And this peace that you have and this joy that you have in your heart will overflow you. Thus, you will be happy because you know that you are pleasing God. So when you accept God, when you find that you have aligned with God's plan, you will start to experience certain things: joy, peace, happiness, contentment, love. I remember when before I knew God, I didn't believe that nobody loved me. But it wasn't until I accepted His call, accepted His call and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, that I learned that I didn't have to walk around with a frown on my face all the time. That I could laugh, that I could smile, that I could experience happiness because I aligned myself with God's plan. So that's how you will know. Now, I'm not saying that every day is going to be rose petals and sunshine, rainbows and all of that. That's not what I'm saying. But you will have an inner joy that nothing can take from you. You will have a peace of joy in you that nothing can remove. So that's where you will find, that you are aligning yourself with God's plan. Because it will get you, it will help you, and it will show you that you are His child. Amen. So the next question is, if you are cremated, how do you go to heaven? Well, the thing is that the body is just a vessel. The body is just a vessel. The soul is what lives on. The soul and the body were both created by God. But it's the soul that inhabits the body. It is the soul that moves, that lives on. Once this old body dies, the soul returns back to God. So that is how you will either go to heaven or to hell. Because your soul is what lives on. Not this body. Time that everything is completed. The Bible speaks of a glorified body that we would receive that never ages. There is no more crying, no more sickness, no more death, none of that. But the body that we inhabit now, once the soul is gone, it returns right back to the dust. So that does not really matter about the flesh. Doesn't matter. It's all about your spirit. Amen. The third question and final question is, why in the Bible does it say that some kings had more than one wife, yet God is against adultery? In the Old Testament times, when they speak of the kings having more than one wife, most of the time the kings had one wife and the wives had maid servants. when the wives had maid servants, when the wife felt as if she was too old to conceive and she had a younger maid servant, she would then ask the maid servant to bear a child for the king. If the king wanted another child, that maid servant would bear that child. Thus, that child would be the wife's and the king's. Such as in Solomon's case, which we speak about having over 900 wives and concubines, a lot of what that meant, and in those times it was a difference when they said wife. You had your stand, your wife whom you were with and married to, but a lot of times when the soldiers would go off to war and they would die, the king would step in as now the provider of that family. Thus, which is what happened with Solomon, having, you know, all of the women, because most of their men would die, and so he took on the role as the provider of that household. Thus is why it is said that he had so many wives. Because he was the provider of the house. He made sure that they had everything that they needed in order for them to sustain life and to take care of the children. He was always there to make sure that things continued to move on. So when you read that, that's what that means. And in this day and age, you know, even after the New Testament. And there were even times in the Old Testament, you know, where God was not happy with what was going on when these men dealt with all of these different people and different women, because he knew that it wasn't a good thing. Thus, now, as we fall under, we still acknowledge and appreciate the Mosaic Law, but we now fall under the blood covenant of grace and mercy. We don't deserve it, but we get it anyhow. Thus, Jesus set a law forth that we should not have more than one wife. That is an abomination, because two things, one person cannot have three pieces of flesh. You know, when you have your wife, y'all become one flesh. And you can't add another piece to that flesh. Thus, it will create friction and cause problems. Thus, you can only divorce your wife through or your husband if it was through sexual immorality, meaning that if one or the two cheated or caused sexual immorality within a relationship, this their partner could divorce and move on and marry another. But that would be the only way that divorce would be considered legal in the sight of God. Amen. So I hope I was able to answer the questions. Amen. And I hope that it helped you and it gave you a little more knowledge on the topics that you were seeking. Amen. I want to say that this is a blessing to me. And when I do this show, I am always happy. I always have joy. But my prayer is that you find happiness and joy too. Through this show, it is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. As a Christian leader, it is my job to bring you into the fullness thereof. For just a couple of minutes, I want to touch on a testimony. A testimony, but also a warning for you, God's people. Never try to rush God's hand. When I think about this, I think about a group of kids. And I think about a whole group of kids and them standing at the ice cream truck. And the gentleman that sells the ice cream says, you know, who here wants a free ice cream? And all the kids go, ooh, 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 me. Well, I look at that, and I think about how we look at God when we want to bless him. We say, ooh, 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 me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God said, no, not yet. And when God says, no, not yet, we go off, and sometimes we pout, sometimes we cry, and sometimes we walk away from God. But we never sit back and ask the question, why? Why do we try to rush a blessing on our lives? Instead of sitting back and having patience, instead of sitting back saying, Lord, I will wait my turn. Instead of saying, Lord, is there something more that I need to do to make sure that this blessing is right for me? We turn around and we run. Or we turn around and say, I knew that this was not going to happen. Why is it that we so live in a microwave generation that we want things now piping hot? I came up in a generation where we had to sometimes wait for our food. No matter how hungry we were, if your mama put it in the oven and said it has to warm up in 20 minutes, you sat there and you waited for your food to get done, and when it was done, then you partook of the food. You didn't keep going to your mama, ask your mama, is it ready now? Is it ready now? Is it ready now? I'm hungry. I want it now. I want it now. You knew that when your food was ready, that your mother would give it to you. But we live in a society now that says, I don't have to wait the 20 minutes for my food to get done. I don't have to wait a lifetime to receive this blessing that I want. I want it now. Just to add a little background to what I'm speaking about, Abraham and Sarah were two who God promised a son. And because Sarah was one who did not believe in her heart, she gave her maidservant. What I'm saying is, we know that when Abraham was old, and sometimes when you get that old, a flower don't bloom like it's supposed to, amen, when you're looking at certain things. But when you see this young, pretty Egyptian woman walking towards you, I'm sure that Abraham thought in his mind that I'm sure that he said, wow, look at this beautiful young lady. And thus my wife is old and she can't have a child, so she is giving me her maidservant, this beautiful, voluptuous woman, and yes, we're going to have a child, and that child will be the child that my God has promised me and my wife. But you find that wasn't the case. Though she had a child and she named him Ishmael, that wasn't the promised son that God had for Abraham and his wife. Thus, it caused a lot of confusion. Thus, Sarah's once maidservant now did not serve the table. She now sat at the table. Thus, it caused confusion among something that God was putting together.
But you will find that even though this was not his promised son, that we know that Isaac came and was the promised son, and we know through Isaac came all the children of Israel, and we know through Ishmael came the Islamic belief and faith, amen. But we know that Abraham asked God to bless both sons. He could not bless Isaac without blessing Ishmael, and thus both sons, even now today, fight. Oh, yeah, this is why they had that holy war over there, because you got two cousins fighting each other over birthright and land. These kind of things happen when you try to rush God's hand. When you're expecting a blessing and you constantly telling God, you know, I want this blessing. I want this blessing. I need this blessing. This is my blessing. Lord, all you got to do is give it to me. You give it to me, and I'm going to take care of it. I promise you, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make sure. And God says, okay, I'm going to give it to you just to see what you're going to do. And when God gives it to us, we're not ready or equipped to receive that blessing. And thus, when that happens, it falls down to the wayside, because we have yet again was not ready or spiritually prepared or mentally or sometimes even physically prepared for the blessings that we're asking for. So what am I saying? I'm saying that somebody needs to learn to have some patience. Have some patience and let God do his perfect work in your life. What am I saying? There are times that we have to sit still and just say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life, and I promise you, I will sit back and I will wait until that blessing comes my way. Even if I have to wait all my life, I know, Father God, that at the end of the day, that if I wait all the years that I have on this earth, that you will restore unto me the years that I have waited, and thus I will still be able to enjoy this blessing that you have for me. I urge you not to rush God's hand. Let God have his way. Let God do what he does best. Stay out of God's way. Well, that's a message right there. Stay out of God's way. Amen. When you stay out of God's way, everything will work itself out. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. And I know that there are others out here as well that will attest to the fact that it's better to stay out of his way and see what he'll do for your life. That's a little testimony, but also a warning to all of you. Amen. As we get ready to go into the meat of the matter, I ask that you would pray with me. Eternal Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for blessing us and keeping us. We thank you. Now, Father, it's me, your most humble servant. I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture that I want to read to you will come out of the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And it reads, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass that on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" I want to stop right there. May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. For a subject today, at the name of Jesus. We now find that the book of Acts is considered our New Testament book of history. Now, I don't claim myself to be a main theologian or a major theologian, but I do know what I know. When you look at the book of Acts, Acts along with the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, is a part one and Acts is a part two. You can read the book of Luke and go right into Acts and not miss a beat. Acts speaks about, the opening pages of Acts talks about what happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After spending time with his disciples some 40 days and some 40 nights and eating and fishing and teaching and people seeing the miracles of this resurrected Christ. And after Jesus has gathered all his disciples together whom were there with him, and he breathed upon them and he gave them the breath of life, and he told them that as he was being exalted to go out and teach and preach and baptize in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And thus now, you see the point where these men who were unlearned men, untaught men, uneducated men, now after the Holy Ghost has fallen upon them, now can preach with boldness and can now stand before the people and tell the unadulterated, the undiluted truth that Jesus is Lord. And thus what you find here in coming up to verse to chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, you find that Peter and the other apostles were now at the temple and were now telling the people about the sins that they had committed by allowing Jesus to be crucified, that they did not know that he truly was the Messiah, whether it was due to sin or due to ignorance, or probably both, that they sat there and they crucified their Messiah, the one whom they have been waiting for. Amen. Israel thinks that their Messiah is still on the rise. They believe that their Messiah will come in the form of a great military leader, thus one who will bring remove the hands of oppression off of them. But they don't know that Jesus came in the form of a humble man, and he had that sword and that shield with him, and he removed the hands of oppression off the people, amen. And then he built a bridge. He held up that crumbling bridge and brought the people back over to God through the shedding of his blood. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men which by which we must be saved." At the name of Jesus is how you are saved. It is at the name of Jesus that I'll stand before all people that claim that Christ is not real, that Christ is not the prophesied Messiah. It is at the name of Jesus that I will stand bold before anybody that tries to tell me otherwise, because I know that my Jesus is real. Now, yes, I know that the name Jesus only has about a 500-year span to it, but let's talk the truth. We know his name was Yahshua. That is the Hebrew name of Jesus. But I'm here to let you know right now that that whether you call him Yahshua or you call him Jesus, regardless to what you call him, it is about your relationship. Do you have a firm relationship with the Messiah? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that if Jesus came here right now, that he would pick you up and take you and count you amongst the blessed? Do you know in your heart that if you died right now, that you would go unto heaven? Do you know that? You see, this is what Peter was trying to get the people to understand, that all that you did, all that you tried to do, all the jealousy, all the hate, all the envy, all the slander, all the beatings, all the backbiting, everything that you tried to do to stop Jesus from moving forward, you will find that that he still had the victory, that he still has the victory. And because I call on the name of Jesus, I'm here to let you know that every backbiting, every lie, everything that you throw at me, I still have the victory because my Jesus had the victory. And if my Jesus has the victory and I call on his name, then I call myself one of his servants, then I have the victory just like all the other apostles did. I'm here to let somebody know right now that it is at the name of Jesus that everything will be fixed. It is at the name of Jesus that you will find that your path will be made straight. It is at the name of Jesus that sometimes that water will get right up to your neck and you will find yourself ready to drown, but he will throw down a life preserver for you and you will find yourself somewhere on some solid ground because at the name of Jesus, every demon in hell must flee. It is what Paul, what Peter was trying to explain to the people, that no matter what goes on, it's that Holy Ghost that's within me. And when I call on the name of Jesus, nothing that you do can stop it. You can't touch what God is doing here. You can try. You can try, but the Holy Ghost sees it all. The Holy Ghost. You know, it's funny that all these people, when Jesus was right there on trial before Pontius Pilate, they all cried out, "Crucify! Crucify!" And they brought forth a known prisoner, one who was a terrorist and who breathed terroristic threats not only to Rome but also to the heads of Jerusalem by the name of Barabbas. And Pontius said, "Who do you want to let go?" They said, "Release a known criminal and take Jesus as his spot." And Jesus had not committed not one crime. But Peter reminded them that you were the same ones that said, "Give us Barabbas." You are the same ones that said, "Crucify him, nail him to the cross, make him carry his cross up to Golgotha, let him die the same way that all these prisoners and common criminals should die." You all were the same ones. But he said, "But I offer unto you a chance at rededicating and redemption, that you can turn away from your wickedness, that you can turn away from your evil thoughts, that you can turn away from your jealousy, your envy. You can turn away from all the things that's stopping you from reaching God. Confess your sins." Y'all know we can be so wrapped up in sin that it can affect your body. It can affect your body. It can make you feel like you're sick. Confess your sins. Confess your sins before the Lord. And live a new life. And live a new life. This is what Peter was saying. That it's time that now, at the name of Jesus, it's time that somebody get back on board. It's time that somebody hold up the bloodstained banner. And if y'all don't want to do it, well, guess what? I'll do it by myself. Because for God I live, and for God I will die. So I'm not worried about what you're going to do. I'm not worried about what you're going to say. I'm not worried about what you're going to say or what you're going to do to me. Because at the end of the day, my Jesus will supply all my needs. Yes, you can put me in that jail cell, but watch what my Jesus will do. You can sit there and put me in chains, but watch what my Jesus do. You can put me down in the bowels of Rome and have me up to my waist in fecal matter, but watch what my Jesus will do. Yeah, you can talk about me. You can try to get people to side with you. Yeah, you can say all these different things, but watch what my Jesus will do. Yes, you can kill my family. You can try to hurt my people, but watch what my Jesus was going to do. I hear the voice of an old grandmama in her early 40s saying, "You have hurt my people. You have tried to keep us ignorant. You have tried to make us dumb. You have pit brother against brother, mother against daughter, father against son, sisters against sisters. You took our names, our language. You took everything. You stripped us of all this stuff. But watch what my Jesus will do. Watch how Jesus will fix it." That same Jesus that grandmama praised is the same Jesus that your mama praised. And it is the same Jesus that you will praise. And it's that Jesus that kept you that will keep your children. Because at the name of Jesus, the enemy cannot stand. The enemy will fall. For it says, "For when there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst." I know two people right now that's gathered in the name. That means that Jesus is all over this. You can't touch what Jesus is doing. At the presence of Jesus, it is what I'm trying to tell you, is that at the name of Jesus, you are removed from darkness and placed into the light. At the name of Jesus, you will find yourself once dead, but now very much alive. At the name of Jesus, blessings happen. Breakthroughs are happening. Yokes are being destroyed. Bondages are being removed. Shackles are coming off. When we find ourselves being put down and being pressed down and being oppressed by those who are in authority, at the name of Jesus, you will dance. You will sing. At the name of Jesus, you will praise. Because no matter what goes on around you, no matter what is said about you, no matter what is done to you, it is at the name of Jesus that you shall see the victory. You will see what God can do. And at the name of Jesus, the blood that was shed down, that poured out for me, it reaches to that highest of that mountains, and it flows down through the lowest of the valley. It is at the name of Jesus that sinners are converted. At the name of Jesus that we're washed, wiped clean as snow. It is at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and that every tongue will confess, like it says in Philippians 2:10, that Jesus is Lord. At the name of Jesus, everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything under the earth. Demons got to flee. They even got to bow at the name of Jesus. Even when they don't want to, even when they hate, they still got to bow down. What I'm saying to you is, do you call on the name of Jesus? Do you call on him at all times or at times when you only need him? What say you, church? What do you do? I urge you to call on the name of Jesus at all times and in all seasons. And in all places, don't allow this world to stop you from knowing the sweetest name that there is. That is Jesus. Somebody here needs to know that at the name of Jesus, you will be blessed. At the name of Jesus, you will speak boldness, just as Peter did. Peter, filled with that Holy Ghost, set the people straight and let them know that if you desire to be a part of this great movement that he now offers Jesus to you, well, let me tell you, if you desire to be a part of this great movement, I offer Jesus now to you. Is there somebody here whom you did not know Jesus before this day? I offer him to you now. If you are one seeking Jesus for the first time, or if you are seeking rededication of your life back unto the fold of Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask, Lord, that you would touch in a mighty way, that you would bless in a mighty way. Lord, I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again on that third day. Be the Lord of my life. I accept you as my Father. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, be my Redeemer. For you I live, and for you I'll die. I am yours, and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you solely meant it within your heart, salvation now belongs to you. Welcome home. Haven't you been homesick? Now you can walk in the good graces of God. Find yourself a church that teaches from the Bible. Align yourself with them. Learn from them. And teach somebody else. Amen. That is what this mission is all about. Again, I thank you for this time. On behalf of the good brother, Hakim Nuba, myself, Pastor D. Townsend, I told y'all this is a vacation day for me, amen. But I had to get this word together for you. On behalf of us, your servants, you have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. Somebody ought to praise God right now for for the blessings are about to pour down upon you. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. This has been the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Good night, and God bless.